There, I can share with everybody else now. I want to share with you tonight a thought that I had this week that is in reality a very simple thought, but something that just never really dawned on me before. Each and every one of us, at some point in life, in some way or another, probably at various times and multiple times, will be in a position of authority over somebody else. You ever realize that? At some way or another, various times throughout life, we exercise authority over others. Sometimes it's you're an older sibling and you take advantage of your younger siblings. Or there's, you're the big kid on the block and there's little kids on the block. It might be that you're in a teaching situation, a teacher in Sunday school or something, and you have students under you. It could be that you're in an administrative position or some type of official position in a company and you have people working under you. You could be in a position of authority in government. All kinds of various ways, or in the home. One way or another, we all exercise at some point in time authority over other people. And our responsibility in that position of authority is to see that the will of God is accomplished in the lives of those who we have authority over. How do we do that? I've been reading some journals and books on leadership, and there's various different styles of leadership. There's the authoritarian, and taken to its extreme, the authoritarian can become a dictator, a tyrannical dictator. Now, being a dictator is not necessarily a bad thing. Do you realize that in the millennial kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a dictator? Fortunately for us, he's going to be a very benevolent dictator. But he's not going to have a democracy in place in the millennial kingdom. He's going to be King of Kings. And he's going to say, do this, and people won't be taking a vote on it. That's how he will operate. So being a dictator in and of itself is not necessarily wrong. On the other hand, there are those whose administrative style is more of a, well, let's see what everybody wants to do, and we kind of get a consensus of opinion, and we talk about it and make joint decisions. And there are times when it's necessary to do that. Acts chapter 15, the apostles got together. A doctrinal issue had come up, and it wasn't Peter, it wasn't Paul, it wasn't any particular one of them that said, okay, this is what we're going to do. They got together, and they said, let's work this thing out. And they put their heads together and came up with a unanimous opinion. And in doing so, they recognized what the will of God was and stated it as such to Barnabas to take back with him. I believe that different situations call for different styles of leadership. There are times that if we are to be effective in the authority that God has given us, that we need to be somewhat dictatorial. There are times that we need to be somewhat of a organizational type mode. The question is, how do you discern when to do which? The Apostle Paul was an apostle. There's another brilliant thought. I studied hard at Bible college to come up with that one. But as an apostle, he was invested with apostolic authority. And he could, as an apostle, say, do this, and then people in the churches would have no other choice but to do it. And yet there were times that he backed off of that authority and pleaded with people to do things. And we have an example of that here in our little letter to Philemon. Now, remember the situation. Philemon was a slave owner. He owned a slave by the name of Onesimus. Onesimus had run away from his owner, took off to Rome, possibly had stolen money, probably had stolen money from Philemon, ran into the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul has led him to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle is under a moral and legal obligation, and that is to return Onesimus to his rightful owner. Now, we kind of shudder with that type of language today. We're not very comfortable with slavery, and rightly so. But understand, biblical slavery is nothing similar to what we understand it to be today. We equate it with slavery that happened pre-Civil War and the abuse of people and so forth. Biblical slavery wasn't anything like that. But slaves were considered property. They had been bought. And consequently, Onesimus was property of Philemon. Paul couldn't say, well, hey, look, you're with me now, everything's fine, just stay with me. He had the obligation to send him back to Philemon. And Philemon had the legal ability to do with him whatever he pleased. He could have had him killed for robbery. He could have put him back to hard work. But now Paul is writing and returning him and asking Philemon to restore him, not just as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. Now, he could have said, look, I'm the apostle, do this. In fact, we see that here in verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. The word enjoin is a Greek word which literally means to command. It's the word epitasso. Epi is a preposition which means over or upon or around, and tasso is to place or to set, or it's to lay a burden upon someone. It's the idea of the word. And Paul is saying, look, I can lay a burden on you. I have the apostolic authority. I have much boldness in Christ to do this. I have the authority. It's been given to me. And if I want to, I can just tell you this is what you're going to do, and that's all there is to it. To do that which is convenient. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. The word beseech is the Greek verb parakaleo. Para is a word around or beside. And kaleo is the verb call. It's to call one beside you. It's to put an arm around them. It's the idea of encouragement or exhortation. It's not an order, but it's a begging. It's an asking for a favor. I beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. In verse 8, we see that Paul could exercise apostolic authority, but he chooses not to. Why didn't he? Well, the key to the question is in this last little phrase up there, having much boldness in Christ to lay a burden upon you for that which is convenient. The word convenient is a word which has the idea of that which is fitting or is the right thing to do. It's an issue of right and wrong. Not an issue of what's good and better and best, but an issue of right and wrong. This was not an issue of right and wrong. Philemon had his rights. He could do whatever he wanted to do. And therefore, Paul didn't have that authority. But there are places where each and every one of us has to exercise authority in doing what's right and wrong for others. I want to give you a couple of them tonight. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22, there's an issue in the husband-wife relationship. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The word submit is a military term. It literally means to rank under. Put yourself under the authority of your husband in the same manner as if you were putting yourself under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands only when they are correct. And every woman is smiling because she knows that never happens, right? Let me say something quickly. I thought this morning what I said was perfectly clear. At least it was in my mind. I understood there was some possible way of misunderstanding what I had to say about silly women. So let me go back and rephrase. As I said this morning, the phrase silly women in 2 Timothy is the diminutive form of the word woman. Little woman. Not living up to her responsibilities. Women, in general, are not silly. These women became, quote-unquote, silly women because, first of all, they had been loaded down with sin. That's the starting point. And having been under this burden of sin, they were looking for some way out, and rather than living up to confessing it to Christ, they were looking for all these other things. False teachers. By the way, the false teachers, when they come to a woman who is a godly woman, will knock on the door, find out that they're not going to make any headway, and run the other direction. But these are the ones that let them in. I had no intention of characterizing all women as being silly. That was the farthest thing from my mind. So if you understood it that way, please accept my apologies. That's not what I meant. But here in the husband-wife relationship, the husband is given authority as the head of the house. He is to exercise leadership. Does that mean he is going to be a tyrannical dictator? Unfortunately, sometimes that happens. It's never meant to be that way. But he is to be the leader. He is to ultimately make the decisions of right and wrong in following the will of God for the family. That's his responsibility. That does not mean that he doesn't listen to input from others, but it's his decision to make ultimately. And it is the wife's responsibility to say, okay, that's what we're going to do. Ask my wife, but husbands do make mistakes. Go ahead, say amen. There's a classic example. I think I've used it before, so I'll give you the short version, which in preacher language is 15 minutes or less. We were debating at one time in our life about which car to buy. She wanted a Dodge. I wanted a Renault. She really wanted the Dodge. I really wanted the Renault. Guess which one we bought? The Renault. Guess which one we should have bought? The Dodge. The Renault was a headache from the day we got the thing, practically. She was right, I was wrong, but it was a decision I made and one that we had to live with and one that God honored in her life because she willingly submitted. Drop on down a few verses, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And there are times when parents need to be dictators. You don't ask the children all the time, what do you want to do? Now, if it's a matter of where do you want to go on vacation or something along those lines, certainly there's need for input from the kids, but that's not an issue of right and wrong. I will never forget. They're both downstairs, so I can talk about them. Well, actually, it's just one. I will never forget Mike Lyons. One day, Sam and Zach were running out into the parking lot. And Mike bellowed, "Stop!" And those kids came to an immediate halt. You see, there was no issue of of whether they should think about whether they wanted to stop or not. Dad said stop, and they stopped. You know why? Because a car was coming. They would have run right out in front of that car. They would no longer be with us. Modern parenting doesn't seem to like to do that. Stop! One, two. Oops, too late for three. Do you want to stop? It would be nice if you stopped. If you stop, I'll give you some ice cream. There are times when parents need to be dictators in the will of God. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Drop down a few more verses, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You that are slaves, obey your masters. I'll never forget Chris Ryan having a devotion in the consistory meeting where he talked about the rights of slaves. He said they have none. Slaves never decide on how the project is to be done, when it's to be done, and with what materials it's to be done. Slaves simply ask the master what they want to be done, how they want it to be done, and they go out and do it. Our society doesn't seem to understand that those who are in a position of authority have the God-given right to do that. Let's move on. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Submit yourselves to every ordinance, even the ones that you think are stupid. And in our government today, there are plenty of them. But Romans chapter 13 says that our government officials have been placed there by the sovereignty of God. And while they may not necessarily be doing the will of God, they are in a position of authority, and the Christian's responsibility is to rank under in authority to every ordinance of man. You've heard of these people that disagree with taxes so they don't pay them. It's an unfair tax. I'm not going to pay it. I don't care whether it's fair or not. If the government has enacted it, we need to pay it. By the way, you know, that's not going to be a problem for a Christian. God has promised to meet our every need. And if the government says this is something that you need to do, God has promised He'll provide it. I remember a teacher in Bible college years ago we were talking about the removal of taxes, property taxes, from religious institutions. And he said, he's all for it. Why in the world would you be for it? Because he said, these institutions that don't honor the Lord often have huge properties that they would have to come up with money to pay taxes on. And God has never promised that He would provide for them. He said it'll put them out of business, but God has promised that He'll provide for His church. He said, we'll always have it. He said, I'd love to see the churches being taxed. Now, that's a crazy way of going about it, but he's got a point. Back up just a couple of pages to Hebrews chapter 13. Last one. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, in context, the writer of Hebrews is not talking about political officials in society. He's talking about officers in the church. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You know what happens when something goes on in the church and someone in an official capacity comes up and confronts a member and says, you know, what you're doing isn't right? See ya. I don't have to listen to this, and off we go. Scripture says, no, you need to listen to this. You need to submit. There's a person that's watching out for your soul. If they've done so mistakenly, deal with it. Iron the issue out. But don't take off. That'll never solve anything. Paul says, I could have used this authority and just said, Philemon, do it. But I'm not going to. Let's get back to Philemon. Yet for love's sake. See, the issue here wasn't right or wrong. It was an issue of a person responding from the heart to do what is best. And that's the motivation that Paul wants to evoke. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. I beg you, Philemon, this is what I want you to do. And he's going to talk about that in our study next week. I'm not going to get to it tonight. But he says, being such a one as Paul the aged. Paul had, by this point in time, become an older man. He's been through a lot in ministry. The body was breaking down and not working as well as it once had. He didn't have the energy that he once had. And Philemon was a man somewhat younger than him. And Paul was writing to him as a person who was older to a younger person. And he says, I want you to have pity on me, which you do. Remember, he had commended Philemon as being a person who was caring about other people. Verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, and I know you have it towards me. Here I am, this old man, and I know you love me and you would do anything for me. Oh, by the way, that's what love does. It gives. Not only am I an old man that you would have compassion on, but I am also now a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Here I am sitting in this Roman prison, chained to these guards, not free to go about, and certainly you have some compassion for me in this situation. I wanted to come to Rome as a preacher, I came as a prisoner. I wanted to be free to roam about, I'm stuck here in this house of mine that I have to pay for. Certainly you have some compassion. And Philemon said, yeah, Paul, I really feel for you. Whatever I can do for you, brother. Right. And now he's got him. Verse 10. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus. You know that slave that ran away? I led him to Christ. You know that person that was an enemy of the cross? He's a brother of ours. I've led him to Christ here in my bonds. And Paul is going to be sending him back, and the encouragement is, not only is he my son in Christ, he's your brother in the Lord. And as you have love for the brethren, he's now one of them. Take him back. Forgive him. Don't beat them up, which you have every legal right to do. Don't let make his life miserable. Let him make your life wonderful. I beg you to do that. Want to know what happened? He did. Paul could have said, listen, this is what you're supposed to do, and Onesimus would have been going back and finally and saying, I've got to put you back on the payroll. No love. But Onesimus goes back and life is restored. When there is a situation of right and wrong and you're in a position of authority, you act like a dictator. You demand obedience to what God has declared to be right. But when it's an issue of good, better, and best that needs to be generated out of a heart of love, beseech, don't command. And God's will be accomplished. Father, help us to have wisdom tonight from our little study here. To be actively involved in the right administration of the authority that you give us. Whether it be in a husband-wife relationship, a parent-child relationship, an employer-employee relationship, a church leader-member relationship, or a government-citizen relationship. May we do what is right out of a heart that just loves you for all the right reasons. Encourage us tonight with these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.